Hey everybody, my name is Joe Bell. I'm an alcoholic. Joe. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say my last name, was I?
No, you're all right.
I'm always going against the rules. Oh man, I'm humbled and honored to be speaking here today, tonight. And I don't know, my sobriety date is July 7th of 2001, and to me that's a miracle. You know what I mean? When you hear some of my story, you'll say, it's a miracle. I don't know. On the way over here, I went to the wrong hotel. You know what I mean? My host said, I asked you if you needed anything. Well, hey, it's all good. my life is amazing today. I'm supposed to say what it's like and what happened and what it's like today, and I'll try to do that in a general way. And what I got till 8:30? I don't know, man. I grew up over in Price Hill, and woohoo! And it was great back then, and had bars at every corner and a couple in between. And I was like, man, at 6 years old, I couldn't wait to get in there. I hear the jukebox and the bing bong machine. I'm like, that's me right there, And I was fascinated with the bars from day one. And, it says in the book, if you remember your first drink, you're in the right place, And I remember mine like it was yesterday, I remember, let me back up a little bit. I know I had a lot of isms before I ever took a drink, like when I was 6 years old, my mom and dad, we had nine kids, I was in the middle of nine of us, and I remember they'd hide the Easter baskets at Easter and at night, and I'd get up and steal all my brothers and sisters' stuff, and put it in my Easter basket, And when I'd pick it out the next morning, we'd take our turns, and I'd pick it out, and stuff be falling out. My mom and dad would look at each other like, what? I said, it's mine. It's got my name on it. So I was a liar and a thief, at six, And I remember around that same time, we had a little black and white TV because my dad used to fix them on the side. And nobody, it was old. It was a long time ago. We was the first one in our neighborhood to have a TV. And it was a little black and white one. And all the kids would come over on Friday night and watch the horror, I forget what it's called, Creature Features or something. And I remember we was watching this movie and went to a commercial. And I asked my mom, I said, was I adopted? She's like, what? What the? Why the hell you asked that for? Because I seen something in that movie, and I thought, well, that little kid's adopted. And I thought, I knew at a young age there was something different about me. I knew I acted and thought different than my brothers and sisters. I just did. I don't know. I was trying to figure it out, And I remember a couple years later, I was up Del High Park, and we had a family get together, and that's when I took my first drink. And I talked my little cousin into going and getting one with me out of the garbage can with the keg in it. He's like, man, you're going to get me in trouble. And I done him enough. He come and got one, too. And we went in the weeds and drank it. Come back. I said, come on, let's get in. He said, oh, we're going to get in trouble. You always get me in trouble. So we got a second one, And I went back and got a third one. And he started puking. And I'm like, dude, you're wasting it. I didn't know nothing about it, but I just heard other people say to older people, you're wasting the beer again, and I don't know. That's how I pretty much lived my whole life, following what other people did. There was a lot of alcoholism in my family, I ain't supposed to say he or they, but hell, they drank like I did. They just didn't go to jail, I don't know why that is. but I don't know. You know, I remember that night, you know, and my aunt, she said, "Look, Marilyn, that boy ain't been in trouble all night. He's coming around." I was like, "Yeah." Because I can hear real good, too, when I drink. You know. And I remember at the end of the night, I'm helping clean up. I got half full beers. I ain't shoot. And my aunt was like, "Look, he's even helped cleaning up." I'm like, "That's right." You know. And, you know, I remember on the way home, it was a summer night and cool. And my mom and dad was arguing about who was going to drive home. And you've been drinking more than me and all that stuff. And my sister's crying. Woo, she gets the front seat. The rest of us is fighting over the windows in the back, you know, all seven of us, eight of us, you know. It was crazy, dude. I loved it. And we're riding home, and I remember I had long hair back then, this wave, and I'm like, "Oh, I was cool," you know what I mean? And I remember, man, I did learn something at school because they said, if you find something you love, make a career out of it. You know what I mean? And it won't be like working. I said, I know what my career is. I just got to figure out how to make a living doing it. You know what I mean? And I never could figure that part out. But I tried. And, you know, I didn't realize until I come in this program many years later and work with my sponsor that alcohol had took control of me at that moment. And I never knew it. You know what I mean? Because he told me if I wasn't thinking about it, I was doing it, planning it, or recuperating from it. And I'm like, damn, I never thought about it like that. You know what I mean? It's good to have a smart sponsor. You know what I mean? Because I'll run stuff by him today, and he'd be like, "That ain't a good idea." He'd be, hey, a couple times, he'd say, "You're going to get your fifth number if you do that." Okay, I got you now. You know, because even sober, I'll get tore up, mad, and do bad things sometimes. I don't mean to, but my temper will get in the way, you know what I mean? But if I ain't living on this spiritual beam, and you know, for me, it's the only way I can live. I done got way ahead of myself, but you know, from that night on, I remember that week I got a paper route, and I got me a lawnmower and started cutting grass and saving money so I could drink on the weekends. And I knew everybody in the neighborhood, and I knew the old guys that had them burger beer cartons in the back porch, and I'd steal a couple quarts and hide them in my camp and drink them hot as hell on the weekend, you know what I mean? And man, that's just what we did, you know? And I thought I was real smart because I'd put the bottles back when I was done drinking them so they didn't notice them. Yeah. But go to any length, you know. We'll figure out what to do. And like, I got that paper route, and then I found out, you know, I told my brother, I said, "Man, this dude down the street's always got that smell like you got coming out of your room." Yeah, and he burns the same incense. And he's like, "Well, you need to holler at him," you know. And so me and old Tony got pretty cool, and he would front me bags of weed and pills. I know this alcoholic, and I'm an alcoholic, you know what I mean? But I did drugs alcoholically, too, you know? Somebody told me that one time, and I was like, that's how I did them, too, you know what I mean? More the merrier. Shit. But I don't know. I started selling stuff, and got me a little dirt bike, and I'd ride up Mount Echo Park and sit on that one-way street like I was the king. And sell my little stuff, and if the cops come, right off in the woods. I never had no consequences, you know what I mean? I thought I was slick. And I did that for quite a few years, you know. And I still went to school, and I played sports. I did good in sports, and I passed along in my grades. And I don't know, I remember when I was 13, my brother gave me a hit of acid. And, he gave me a sugar cube. And I ate it. He said, "Would that be $2.50? I said, "How you gonna give me a birthday present and charge me for it?" He said, "Well, I didn't mark it up none." You know. So I chewed it up, and I'm like, "Oh, you think you're slick? That's sugar. I know what it is." And he said, "Man, it's in there." I said, "I ain't paying." You know what I mean? So So he said, come on. I hung out with him. You know, I was 13, and they were 19 and 20. And I hung out with all him and his friends that night. And they all got hot rod 69 cars. And I was in heaven. You know what I mean? And I had a blast all night. Drank like a big dog and didn't puke and stayed awake. You know what I mean? And, I remember coming home and I was tweaking. And the birds was chirping. You know what I mean? And my brother's like, man, how'd you like it? I said, I don't think I felt it yet. We laughed, you know what I mean? I froze, you know how you get. And he got real serious on me. He said, now look, don't you be doing no needle dope. And I'm like, what are you talking about needle dope? He said, I'm telling you, don't ever do none. I said, why is that? He said, because it ain't no good. I said, okay. He said, promise me. I said, I promise. So that was like a Friday, and by Monday, I was down on the corner. Hey, who does them needle dope? I didn't really know what it was, but I wanted to do something. You know, and like I said, I was 13, and by the time I was 15, I'm strung out on shooting dope downtown. I got a little apartment on top of the B&B bar on Clay Street, 15th and Clay, and right across the hall from Shaky Jake, and we used to do them T's and B's, and Bob, thought we was the deal, man. Listen, old Motown. I was 15 years old and thought I had arrived, you know what I mean? And we was doing robberies and burglaries and stealing cars off them lots, and we had a dude that would buy them for $500, and we'd roll for a couple of days and go up there and sell them. I mean, we was just insane, and you know, people starting to die around us and go to the penitentiary, and I always thought, man, that won't happen to me. You know what I mean? And I used to see a guy in our neighborhood. He would shoot him in his neck, and I'm like, ooh, if I ever get that bad, I'll quit. You know what I mean? I'm here to tell you I wouldn't have quit. I just had good veins. You know what I mean? But I don't know. You know, I kept saying, well, if this happens, I'll do this. You know what I mean? It never really was that bad. That's what I'm getting at, I guess. And alcoholism had took over my life completely. You know, my ninth grade, I went to Elder High School, and I wrestled on the varsity team, and I did real good. And I remember that summer, my mom and dad was having a talk with everybody, saying they couldn't afford us to go to good Catholic schools no more. And I said, well, hell, I'll take one for the team. I'll go over to West Side, you know what I mean? Yeah, I thought I was helping my family out, you know. But, you know, I heard a few years ago, somebody was giving a lead, and they was poor like us. I thought we was dirtbag poor. But, you know, they said they got a job at school and helped pay tuition. I'm like, damn, I never did think of that. You know what I mean? I was too self-absorbed. It was on, you know what I mean? I had a party. I had to go. And that motor was turning, you know. And I don't know. I went to West High the next year, and I wrestled at my sophomore year, and I should have went to the state tournament. I did go. I remember when I first got sober, I used to say I went to the state tournament. I wasn't lying, but I wasn't wrestling. It took a few years of being sober. I'm like, damn, I'm lying. You know what I mean? I went to the tournament, but I was in the stands drunk. You know what I mean? I should have been wrestling. Oh, my God. You know, they say, oh, he's got a lot of potential, you know. He's going to win state tournament this year. I didn't even go. You know, I was in the stands because I got drunk to wrestle off at UC, and I puked on the guy I was wrestling. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, sorry. He's like, what? They had to clean him up and finish the match and stuff. Oh, it was bad. I mean to tell you. But you know what? Even though all that stuff, you know, I didn't see it. You know what I mean? I don't even remember my junior year in high school. I was blacked out, I guess, the whole year, because I don't remember nothing about the whole year. I remember my senior year coming around, and it was the beginning of the year, and I remember, you know, they tell you what you need to graduate, and I needed like 3 credits, and I could graduate. And I'm thinking, man, how am I going to get these credits? I'm like, you know anybody in the office I could buy? Because I had money, you know what I mean? I was used to scheming and conniving and paying my way, you know. And And they're like, "No, you're just going to have to go." And I'm like, "Man, that ain't going to happen." And I remember they passed this binder around about halfway through school for the cap and gown and stuff for graduation. And I'm like, "Hell, I probably won't even be alive when this day comes, you know." I passed it on, everybody laughed, you know what I mean? But I was serious, you know, and it really didn't matter because I didn't think it was that bad. You know, I listened to that song, "Only the Good Die Young," and I thought I was good. You know, and the reason, another thing, them winos up at the park told me, "You ain't going to make it to 18. And I'm like, "What?" And they said, "No way." I said, "Oh, I got a lot of stuff to do. I got to hurry up." You know what I mean? And I didn't change nothing. I just shifted into overdrive, you know. And I don't know, man. I lived that way for a long time. And I remember, you know, people was, you know, five of my guys that I grew up with and ran every day with are on death row. One of them's already dead. You know what I mean? And by the grace of God, at the time, you know, they cut me out of the deals. And I was mad at them and stuff till they got caught and got them death sentence. I was like, "Woo, I missed that one." You know what I mean? Yeah, I can laugh about it today, but I know as God was looking out for me my whole life. And it's the only way I can explain it. You know, I used to think it's a coincidence and all that, but I don't believe in coincidences no more today. So, you know, people's dying and stuff and going to the penitentiaries. And I remember all my classmates was going to graduation, and I'm on that bus going to the penitentiary to orientation. You know what I mean? And I didn't think nothing about it, you know. And I remember I was in the county jail, 17, and a couple guys from my neighborhood are like, "Damn, dog, you're awful young to be going to penitentiary." I said, "Shit, everybody from Price Hill goes to penitentiary. I'm just special. I'm going early." You know what I mean? Oh, I thought I was the deal, dude. I was important. And I don't know, man. I don't know where it comes from, but I know I'm crazy. Today I don't prove it as much. But we're riding up that bus on the highway, and I made this conscious decision that I'm going to go up there and hang with all the dudes I know from the hood. And everywhere I knew out here, they were crazy, and you know, they're the craziest ones in that penitentiary. I said, "I'm going to go up there and learn everything I can, and when I get out, I'm going to be the best of the best, the best of the worst." That was my goal in life, you know, and I don't know where it came from. That's just what I did. So I was up there for about 19 or 20 months, something like that, and I got out. And I was there a week. And they're like, all the guys from Cincinnati, "You riding with us, dog?" I'm like, "Yeah, hell yeah." I'm sticking my little chest out. They said, "Come on, we ride up there." And they took a barbell and knocked this dude's brains out. I said, "Oh, my God, I didn't know we was doing that. I don't know if I want to ride no more, you know what I mean? I ain't never going to get out, you know?" I mean, it was crazy, you know? And I don't know, it's just a different world. And that guy got caught, so nobody else got in trouble, you know? And I'm like, man, you know, life just didn't, life wasn't valued some of these places I lived at. And I don't know, it wasn't that bad yet, you know what I mean? I get out, and I was out about 3 months, and a guy hit me on my motorcycle and tore my leg off, you know? And I was probably drunker than he was, but it was his fault, you know what I mean? He had on headlights on and come out of a bar parking lot. And shit, I did that shit many nights. You know, it just so happened he hit me and tore my leg off, and I get it fixed, and I get a cast on, you know, and I come out, and I'm hanging at the corner again. I give me a couple hits of acid, walk out, bam, a car hits me. I'm like, "Hey, I got bad luck," you know what I mean? It ain't got nothing to do with all this dope and stuff I'm drinking. It ain't got nothing to do with all that. I just got bad luck. Who gets hit with a cast on their leg? You know what I mean? Oh, my God. I remember I did a flip, land on my head, and I had to get 2 stitches. And I had that stuff in my mouth still, and I give it to my buddy Ronnie. I said, "Ronnie, here, take this back. You can keep it. I don't even want my money back." He said, "Dog, eat it. That guy's got insurance." I said, "Oh, cool." You know what I mean? That's just the way we was. And so I go to the hospital tripping, and my thinking back then was, you know, they was going to stitch me up and stuff, and I said, they said they was going to give me a local. And I'm like, what's that? They said, just an anesthesia, some medicine. I said, oh, I don't want no medicine. You know what I mean? I might mix with my shit and my, yeah, I didn't know. But I did it without anything, and I could feel that needle, and I was, ooh, that's cool. She's like, you all right? I said, yeah. Hey, then I remember the nurse told my mom, said, keep an eye on him. He's acting kind of funny. He might have a concussion. They said, wake him up every hour. I was up like it all night. That's when the TV went off at like 3 and started snow, and I was like, something's going to come back on there. I know, you know what I mean? Oh, man, it was crazy. And, you know, when I first come in here, I could relate to that insanity becoming normal. You know what I mean? Because my life was insane. I just didn't know it. It seemed normal to me. You know, I live in that double life. And, you know, so I get that cast off my leg. And a couple months later, they chased me in a car. And I went for like 55 minutes. And I was on the news. And my cousin said, that's one of the highlights of this growing up. He said, come on, kids, your cousin's on TV. You know what I mean? Wrong, look like Dukes of Hazzard. Oh, man. I just didn't care, man. I just did not care. I was all in, you know what I mean? I never played Texas Hold'em a day in my life, but I was all in. And I don't know, man. It was a revolving door there for a lot of years. And I ended up going back to the penitentiary, going to an old workhouse, justice center, penitentiary, county jails, you know, and this last time I was out on the street, and by this time I got a girl, and we was together about 8 years, I guess, and we had a baby together, and she was about 18 months at the time, and I'm running these roads like a madman, I met her at the strip club, and I loved her, yeah, but we was crazy for each other. We'd beat each other up. We'd catch them cheating on each other. And then we'd leave the place like, I love you. I love you too. You know what I mean? That was my relationship. And we ended up having a baby together. And I come in town this night. And my guys I was running with, they're rogues like I was. And they're like, man, you go to jail this weekend. You ain't getting out. We ain't getting you out. And I'm like, well, here, I'll give you the bond money now. And they're like, nah. And so it kind of hurt my feelings, you know. And I go home, and my girl's in there with some dude, and I'm like, oh, hell no, send him on out here. You know what I mean? You know the routine. So she wouldn't do it. I said, oh, you really like him, huh? You know what I mean? I got you. She said, I'm calling the police. And I'm like, man, I know you will. So I get my cooler and get back in my car and drive around the corner. I'm sitting on the hood of my car drinking these Budweiser. Visible. Don't care if I live or die. And I'm like, oh, she don't love me. And I'm listening to that Hank Williams when he come back out with There's a Tear in My Beard. I just keep replaying it on a cassette player. You know what I mean? And I'm like, ooh, I'm crying. And these boys come by and they start laughing at me. I couldn't take it. And we start fighting. And one of them stabbed me in my eye. And I took the knife from him and cut him up pretty good. And I remember we fought 2 or 3 times. I run him around the corner. He come back, try to run me over with his sister's car. And I drug him out of the car. And I got this knife I took from him. Got him by the hair of the head. And I said, well, I'm going to cut his head off and hold it up like Conan. I don't know where it comes from, man. I swear I don't. You know, and that was before Conan movie come out. I was like, man, they must have read my mind. But I don't know, man. The cop was sitting there shaking, holding the gun on me. And I'm thinking, man, he won't shoot me. I can see it in his eyes. He ain't going to shoot me. He's scared to death. And, you know, I wanted him to shoot me at that time in my life. And because I thought, well, I do this, hold his head up in there, he'll shoot me and I'll die a hero. I don't know where that come from either. Oh, it's insane. And I don't know, it didn't happen. You know, I went to cut him, I cut his arm, he moved, and I was like, oh, hell, my plans don't work out. You know what I mean? And I turn around, he said, I told you to put it down. I'm like, I knew you wasn't going to shoot me. And I end up going to jail, and next morning I get up and I go up to the gate and I'm like, Bill, what's my bond? He said, you ain't got no bond. I said, really? I said, well, I get an OR. He's like, nah. I always got a bond on Monday, you know. And he said, well, you got to see if that boy lives or not. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I got in a fall. I stabbed that guy. Damn, it started coming back to me then, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, F that punk. And whoop, whoop, he stabbed me first. And I'm a tough guy. I go back to myself, oh, please don't let him die. Please, Lord, I won't stab nobody no more. I won't run him over with my car no more either. You know what I mean? Just them insane prayers, man. And, I don't know, man. 11 days later, I got a bond because they let him out of the hospital. And I went and seen him. I seen him on the corner, and I'm selling this stuff, and I'm thinking I'm Tony Montana. You know what I mean? And I go get my big chrome pistol, and I've been practicing because I thought if I'm going to be a gangster, I got to be a good shot, you know, and I couldn't hit nothing with this gun. And I thought it was the gun, but my buddy was like, oh, that shoot's good. I'm like, damn. So I seen him, I have a conversation with myself in the mirror in my car. I said, no, just go shoot him. Don't say nothing to him. You talk too much. And I'm like, okay. So I go out there and I say, you're going to die this time, punk. And he's like, oh, please, I'll do anything. I'm like, hey, you're going to die. And so I start talking, you know, like I always do. These people come out of the house, and I'm looking at this gun like, I got 6 bullets, and there's 7 people. My plans don't work. I said, I had to run up on their porches and shoot them, and then run to the next door neighbor and shoot them. It ain't going to work. You know what I mean? Damn. And he said, man, if there's anything I can do, he said, I'll do it. I said, yeah, you can go talk to my lawyer. And I got back in my car and left before the cops come. I looked back in that mirror and I said, buddy, you ain't even got a lawyer. Where'd that come from? I said, I'm going to get one. So I went and got me a lawyer, you know. And that boy come to court for me and testified that I shouldn't go to penitentiary. He started. He stabbed me first and everything. And I'm like, damn, that was good. And they ended up giving me 5 years for it. You know, but I was facing 55 years. I was 28 years old, facing 55 years. And you do the math, it's like 83. It's old. And, I mean, that's old. I don't care if you're 83. I'm sorry, but I didn't want to be 83 walking around there with them flip-flops all wrong around. What's up, dog? Oh, yeah, I used to be a gangster, you know what I mean? Oh, man, it ain't looking pretty. Woo! So I ended up getting 5 years, man, and you know, I was happy. By the time I got back in that truck and rode to LaGrange Penitentiary, I was the victim again. Something switches in there. I'm the victim. He stabbed me first. I said, hey, God, he got 2 more assaults while he's out on bond. You know what I mean? Oh, I was tore up. But I'm strung out on dope and going through withdrawals. And the girl I have the baby by, she said, I'm not going to stay with you this time while you go through that penitentiary. And I'm like, really? And I'm thinking, damn, I give her the best years of my life. I swear I thought it too, man. Oh, my God. I was a woohoo. But I said, well, I appreciate that. You know what I mean? So I went wife shopping. I started interviewing women at the bars. And I got one, and I said, if I go to the penitentiary, if I was happen to go next week, which I was, would you come and visit me every week? Oh, yeah. I said, I love you. And we got married. That's a true story. And she was good to her word. She'd come visit me every week, and I'd say, don't even come visit me if you ain't got my stuff. You know what I mean? Because I was on dope in there. And oh, man, I was insane, and I run that woman crazy, you know, and she was good as gold, and I don't know, I get out in 1995, well, no, I was in there still. I'm in there for about a year, and I want to drink. I got all I can do, everything else, but I want to drink. I want a Jim Beam, because I'm a Jim Beam man. I said, which one of these guards can bring us some liquor in here? I'll pay for it. You know what I mean? They said, hell, I can make it. I said, well, hell, I wish you had said that 2 years ago. He got to making it and made a big milk bag full of it. and they give me a mayonnaise jar about this big. I drank half that down. I'm like, oh, I felt it. I feel it right now. You know what I mean? Oh, God. And them guys was like, man, don't drink all that at once. I said, I won't. I'm drinking two drinks. You know? And everybody's brushing their teeth, chewing gum, trying to stay out of the guard's way because we're on like an honor block. We got jobs and stuff, big dogs. And I drank that out of half of that jug. And I'm like, I said, I'm whooping the next guard comes through that gate. They're like, what? I said, you got my back, Big John, my neighbor from Camp Washington? He said, hell yeah. He went and locked himself in the door. I didn't even know. I was like, damn. I didn't even notice it. You know what I mean? I'm like, hell yeah. I said, look, it's my lucky day. Here's two of them. They come walking in. I start firing on them. I was doing good for a minute. Finally, a bunch of them come in, dump me on my head. I said, I quit. They handcuffed me. Took me to the hole. Next morning, I woke up butt naked, chained to the bed. I was like, man, I'm all right, ain't I? I said, what'd they do me like that for? I was a victim again. And I don't know, I go to court call, and they said, we're going to give you 5 more years outside time. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm never going to get out of here. I come in 28, I got 5 years, I'm going to be right, almost 33, but 32, the way the months was. And I'm like, 5 more is 37. Oh, I'll be almost 38. I said, I'm going to be old. I don't even need to get out. You know what I mean? My mind's messed up. I'm going to be so old, I can't do nothing. And they said, man, what was you thinking about jumping on them guards like that? I said, where I come from up there in Price Hill, that's what we do. We fight, get drunk, and fight, and friendly fight. We ain't really trying to hurt each other. We just friendly fight. They said, yeah, okay. Step on back out of there. So I come back in, and they said, we're not going to give you 5 more years outside time, but we're going to give you a year and a hope. And I said, thank you. I appreciate that. And I meant it. You know what I mean? So they sent me down to Eddyville, and I'm down there. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's like lights are on all the time. You don't get to see daylight, though. And they feed you through this little chute, all your meals. You get out once a week for 7 minutes to take a shower, whether you want it or not. You know what I mean? Give you a lot of time to think and read books and stuff like that. That's all I did. And I don't know. So I'm in there about 8 months, and this guy comes up to my cell in a nice suit like this. He says, Mr. Bell? I said, get on away from my cell, rat. You know what I mean? I'm still a tough guy. He said, well, I'm so-and-so from a parole authority. Yeah, you're supposed to have a parole date today. I said, just send me the rest of my time, rat. Ah, shit. Because I'm still a tough guy, you know what I mean? And, he said, well, we was going to give you a parole today. He said, if you go through this 90-day program, we was going to give you a parole. And I'm like out on the street parole? He's like, yeah. I said, come here a minute, buddy. Yeah, I said, what kind of program are you talking about here? And he said, well, it's a drug and alcohol program. And I looked at him like, drug and alcohol program? And I was baffled. I said, oh, they want me to be a counselor. I know it all, you know. And then I'm thinking, man, my next thought was, oh, they're trying to trick me, figure out how I'm getting my stuff in here. You know what I mean? Because I'm a convict, you know. I'm important still. They said, look, I said, I'm drug and alcohol. He said, yeah, you got a drinking problem. I said, get on away from my cell, rat. I run him off, and I didn't know why I did that. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, you're stupid. You could have got out. And I had 93 days left in the hole. So I got out, you know, on the street. My sponsor, you know, working with my sponsor, he said, I wasn't ready to give up my next drink yet. I said, what? He said, how long was you in there before that? I said, about 2 years. He said, yeah, you thought about that next drink for 2 years. You wasn't ready to give that up yet. I would have never known that without a sponsor. You know what I mean? I didn't know why I did it until that day. I was like, hell, I got mad. So, oh, man, that's my time. How much time I got now? I got to get sober. This all gets over in an hour. Shit, I've been trying for years. I don't know, man. That's just crazy. But I don't know. I had a, you know, all that time in the hole and stuff, and I said, well, when I get out this time, I got a new plan. I'm gonna just drink beer, and that's your plan too. And I'm gonna smoke weed, drink beer, and if I get too uptight, I'm gonna do some Valium so I don't hurt nobody. You know what I mean? Hey, I stuck to that plan. I got out in '95. I stuck to that plan. Oh, and I'm going to get me a square job. Because if I go hustling and slinging and doing all that stuff again, I'll be around my dudes. And I can't stay out of jail then, you know, doing it. I wasn't trying to stay sober. I didn't have no conception of being sober. I was just trying to stay out of the penitentiary. I didn't want to be that five-time loser. And I already got four numbers. And so that's what I did. You know, I got out and got a job. Wouldn't nobody give me a job. They're like, you ain't going to work. You're going to steal all of our shit. You know? Damn, I was trying not to cuss. You steal all of our stuff. And I never did work, and everybody knew it, you know. So this guy said he's going to give me a job, and I went up there, and he gave me a job, and I worked for him for 3.5 years. And my neighbor's the one that got me hooked up with him. And after about a year, I went and talked to my neighbor. I said, man, I appreciate you putting me in, you know, giving me a job like that. He said, buddy, I didn't do it for you. I said, huh? He said, I did it for me. He said, you wild ass just got out of the penitentiary. I wanted to see if you was really going to work. I said, well, I appreciate it anyway. I didn't understand it at the time, you know what I mean? I wasn't sober yet. But that was in 95, 96, something like that, in 97. I ended up getting my 11th DUI in 1997, and that's when I got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what I mean? And I'm proud to say that I got more years sober than DUIs today. shoot. I got more years sober than years in the penitentiary. That's amazing to me, man. You know, I thought I was going to die a horrible alcoholic death, you know, all my life. I thought that until I come to this program, you know what I mean? It gave me a new life. I don't know, my lawyer 12 stepped me. He said, man, look at your life. He said, you get in and out of the penitentiary. He knows all about me, all about the dudes that's on death row. He represented half of them. You know, he said, the guys that ain't in there, they look like they're dead. You know what I mean? He was right, you know. And he said, you might want to change some things in your life. And I was like, man. He said, here, he give me some papers and he give me a where and when. He said, go to these A&A meetings and when you go to court, you won't get the max. That's the only thing I heard. I said, I won't get the max? I always get the max. He said, you might not if you go do this AA. He said, don't sign them papers yourself. He said, they got AA police. I said, what do they look like? I said, what do they look like? He said, you'll never guess them. Oh, I thought I was slick as hell, but I wouldn't sign them papers. I write a script back in the day, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't sign them papers. I don't know, man. I went to my first meeting, and it was I stayed out drunk at night. I come home, because I didn't have to work at Monday for some reason. But my baby had school. She's 9.5 years old now. And that woman that I got just to come visit me, she raised my baby for 2 years before I got out of the penitentiary. Kind of messed my plan up, you know what I mean? Because I was going to roll off, because I'm a runner. And my baby loved her like a mom, called her mom. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, I didn't see that coming, you know? So I get out, and I'm out about a year, and this girl called me and said, she's got my boy. And I said, man, come on. You know, I didn't believe it. You know what I mean? That boy's dead on me. He's in the penitentiary. He's on his way to the penitentiary right now. And you know what he told me? He said, hell, you did it, Daddy. I said, but you don't have to do it that way. I remember when he was 9 years old, I took him to Delhi meeting. He said, Daddy, I seen him in the back of my truck looking all quiet. Shit ain't like him. He's kind of like me that way, too. And I said, what happened back there? You're awful quiet. He said, Daddy, I think I'm an alcoholic. I said, what? I said, man, you ain't even drank yet. What makes you think you're an alcoholic? He said, was that man talking up there alcoholic? I said, yes, he was. He said, well, I think just like him. I'm like 9 years old. You know what I mean? But he still drank. Do you know what I mean? And he didn't really see me go through all that stuff, but he heard about it and he liked it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. Yeah, he's in trouble because I'm done with it. you know. But I mean, alcoholism is tough, man. You know, my life has got really good. I mean, awesome. You know, my first wife died in 99. I come in 97. I was lucky enough to stay sober for 2 years, the last 2 years of her life. I took care of her like a baby. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to do it. I'd come to AA meetings and tell them what's going on. They said, go take care of your kids, make sure they're at school, get their homework done, feed them, do their laundry, pay their rent, and take your wife to dialysis 3 nights a week. I'm like, all that? God, and I did it, you know what I mean? Because I was just humble enough to tell them what was going on. They said, if you want to stay sober, tell people what's happening. And I did. And it worked for 2 years. And she died, and then I got high because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. You know what I mean? And I come back in and met another girl. And about 8 months later, we got married. And we stayed sober like 5.5 years. And we adopted a little girl, 3 days old. We's 41, both of us, and I'm like, what the hell are we doing, you know? And and she's a little mixed baby, and I ain't got no problem with that, but my family kind of was messed up about it at first, and my brothers was all messed up, and they're like, man, what are you doing? And they tried to make it like it was a bad thing, you know, and most unselfish thing I ever did in my life, you know, I don't know. If I wasn't in Alcoholics Anonymous, I wouldn't have did that. There's no doubt in my mind. I know I didn't have a life before I come here. You know, you heard all that crazy stuff. Today, I got a pretty good life. You know, I asked them why they asked me to talk up here, because my story is crazy. You know, that's what I think. And they're like, that's why we love you. You know what I mean? And, I don't know, man. I just know, like, if it'll work for a guy like me, it'll work for anybody. And that's all I know. Thanks.